Pickaxe.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 Euro bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 Euro gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 Euro. Oder Mucki Sandwich Eis, je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 Euro. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Triforce podcast in 2026. Oh, wow.
The first one of 2026, can you believe it? We're back.
We're still going, somehow.
Still somehow going, yeah. It's really, really fresh into the year. It's the 2nd of January today. And most people, I think, are back to work today on Friday, unless you were smart enough to book off this Friday and then you would have gotten a nice long weekend to complement the rest of your holiday time off, if you had any. Maybe.
Did you guys have a nice New Year's party? Nice New Year's event? What did you get up to?
Oh boy, did I. I played video games all night long. And then I did not watch any fireworks or anything. And then I went to bed at like 2 a.m.
So I wish I'd done that. But instead, I had a pretty bad New Year's Eve.
Oh.
And I'll tell you why. We decided that as a family, we're going to go out for a meal and then we're going to go see a movie.
Right.
And we were like, you know, let's do something as a family. So New Year's Eve, about 5 o'clock, we decide to go out for a meal because the movie's at 6. So we go out at 5. We're in Wagamama. We'll have lunch, dinner there. Triforce fan sends his best wishes to all of us. So
nice.
And I'm having the meal. It's going all right. Get into the cinema. An hour into Marty Supreme, which I was quite enjoying, I feel an emergency is happening in my ass. An ass emergency is happening.
Right.
Now, the Curzon Cinema in Richmond, it's a lovely cinema, but the toilets...
Don't go there now, though.
No.
Give it
a couple of weeks.
It's a hazard,
toilets
so
are at
down.
The front. The toilets are at the front, either side of the screen. There's a door to the gents and a door to the ladies, either side of the screen. Right. I'm sat bang in the middle, 3 rows from the front. So I, rather than move all the old people to our left and right, I climb over the rows of seats, really worried that in that clambering, I'm going to shit myself. It was that bad.
Oh, no.
Managed to get over, scuttle to the toilet, and I'm in there for, I'm not kidding, a good 25 minutes. Like, it's not going
wow.
well. I'm feeling like I've really got an upset stomach. It's like everything's
like
coming out.
You're like center stage. Everyone that saw you go in there knows.
Yeah. They know. He's having trouble in there. That guy is struggling.
Shit.
And then I know that they're probably not paying attention to me, but I know what I would be like. I'd be like, that fucking bloke went in there like half an hour ago.
Yeah, but surely you'd be able to smell it a bit coming out.
No, it wasn't. Fucking hell. I'm not a dairy cow. You know what? It's not like slurry.
Yeah,
it's a toilet. I give it a courtesy flush now and then.
Yeah, yeah. But if it's a small, like, cubicle sized toilet, like that, the smell's got to go somewhere.
Oh,
it's volume,
so,
right?
Just to be clear, it's a door into a very short corridor, into another door that's into the bathroom.
Right.
And then
okay,
the stall is at the back of that bathroom behind a third door.
Right.
So it would have to be like WMD level dangerous to get out to the theater.
Well, 25 minutes. Was a lot of that cleanup or was it like
continuous?
No,
a lot of it was just me just sitting there thinking there's still more coming. You know that feeling when you've got the mission is not over.
Yeah,
it's like there's a whole nother scene to this movie. Which is ironic because Marty Supreme is overlong as a film. Let me tell you, this toilet trip was it was at least half an hour over its runtime. It was bad. So I finish and I'm like, I think I'm okay. My stomach has stopped aching. Nothing's coming out. I don't feel that urge anymore. But I've now been in here for so long that I start to panic about having to go out in front of the audience.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck, do I just stay in here for the rest of the movie? And I'm thinking, how long was the movie? And I'm thinking back and I remember thinking, shit, I think it was like 2.5 hours long, and I was only an hour into the movie. I think I can't spend an hour and something in the toilet. But I also, there's no way that having missed half an hour, I can then just re-enter and go right into the middle of the theater in front of all those people, climb over the seats and sit down like nothing happened.
You so sit I down, just... you immediately just start laughing and like throwing popcorn everywhere. Oh, like, yeah, exactly. Like you've never been gone.
So instead, I just scuttle to out of the cinema. I just leave and I go into the lobby and Mrs. F texts me, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "I had a really bad toilet trip and then a panic attack, so I will see you after the movie." So I'm just sat there in the bar at the cinema, and it's freezing cold. My coat, my hat, and everything are still in the theater. So I'm just there, and I'm reading, like, the internet signal in Richmond is appalling, so I can't even really use my phone. I'm just reading the fucking lobby magazine for Curzon Cinema, talking about all the movies they've got coming out.
Oh,
and
Christ.
Listening to the film and feeling terrible. And I said to the lads that run the bar there, it was two guys, I said, "Can I have a glass of water, please?" They didn't have any questions. They weren't like, "Why aren't you in the movie?" They didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Which means they must have just thought he must hate Marty Supreme. I haven't watched the movie yet, lads. I've no idea. It might well be excellent.
Isn't it like a sport-based movie thing?
Sort of. It's Timothée Chalamet is a guy called, I think it's Marty Houser. He's a table tennis player and kind of a ne'er-do-well.
Oh, is Gwyneth Paltrow in that?
Yeah, she's in it too.
Right.
Interesting. But I mean, I was enjoying it the first hour of it. I thought it was fine. So yeah, but either way, everyone comes out and I'm like waiting for everyone to come out, knowing that they're all going to look at me and think, "Wow, that guy just gave up on the movie. That toilet trip was so bad. He abandoned ship."
Jesus.
Yeah. It was
so bad. I have a similar story. I won't go into detail, but this happened to me when I went to see the movie Life, starring Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence.
Bad movie.
It was a bad movie, and I missed almost all of it because I was shitting myself silly in the toilet at the Gloucester 5. The theater was the Gloucester 5. It also reminded me when I was in Madrid, we were at this bar. And we were drinking vermouths.
Right.
And if you wanted to go to the bathroom, you had to duck underneath the bar, get behind where all the people are working and serving and stuff, go out into the back, go to the bathroom, and then come back out the same way. When you walk out and you're like behind the bar amongst all the staff ready to duck under or whatever, you feel like a movie star because everybody's looking at you because everybody's waiting to be served and they think that you're there to like help out. But you're like, "Nah, I just went to the bathroom. I'm just ducking under the bar and joining you again." It's hilarious. I think it's like an old style thing or whatever. But
yeah,
another little bathroom story there for you.
Well, do you know what caused this bathroom catastrophe? By the way, I had been given a pack of mints,
right?
Like spearmint mints.
Steak mints. No.
They come in a little tin.
Beef mints.
No, just not beef mints. Mints. Like
old,
mint.
Old from last year. It was like last year's Christmas pit pudding.
I thought they were just regular mints, but they were sugar-free mints.
Oh.
So I'm chowing on these things like crazy because I'm like, these are really good. I'm eating them.
They have a laxative effect.
They've got that sorbitol or whatever it's called. So I literally...
Xylitol.
Yeah, it suddenly hit me, this laxative effect. So it was like I'd taken a bunch of laxatives just prior to watching a 2.5 hour movie.
Right.
That was literally
right.
What happened. So it was bad. Don't eat them. So now I'm off. No more sugar-free shit for me.
Right.
That's it. Too dangerous.
That's so funny. Oh my God.
You just don't want to have another episode like that.
I love it.
We've all got stories where we get caught out. Do you know what I mean? You know, whether it's in a wood or in a cinema or somewhere, you know.
Skate park.
And the thing is, like, sometimes it's the, you know, sometimes it's like... It's like you said, PFLAX, the laxative effect of that's coming out fast. Sometimes it's coming out in a slower, more controlled
way.
It's
so loose. It's like flapping out. It's like your hole is so loose. It's like making a flapping sound when the shit is spraying out.
Or more like you let out like a test fart and then that leaks a bit and you're like, "Uh-oh, this is more serious, right?" And I think that it's always, you've obviously got like, I don't know, depends how much IBS people have and stuff, but you usually have like a gauge of how long it'll take you to get to the loo, right? And so you're like, you know, and you're at a restaurant or something, you're like, okay, I can, we could like take our time, or it's like, oh, we ought to wrap up as soon as possible, really, and start walking. But then once you're walking, you know, that's going to like put some jostling on and it's going to put the pressure on even more. And then before you know it, you're like crab walking, like, yeah, you know, like you're trying and then you're like,
every step you take, like a little squirt is threatening to come out, and you're like,
by the way, it is 2026 and we're already talking about poop.
Two minutes
into the podcast.
Well, listen to this. We had an uneventful New Year's and we were grateful for it, because on Christmas Day, we woke up, everything was normal. The kids were opening their presents, having a great time. Everything was going good. And then around lunchtime, my youngest just started getting like really like irritated. And she was just like, just really kind of like listless and stuff. And we thought, you know, she's had like a virus or whatever. Like, she's probably just not feeling too well. And then she started puking. And then she just wouldn't stop puking. And we're like, oh, my God. And she was going all listless and stuff. So we're like, fine, we're going to have to go to the out of hours GP and like, you know, just double check to make sure everything's okay. So we get there and they're like, well, I've had to call the pediatrician because I'm not happy with like a couple of things. And it's just, you know, just it's more just to make sure that like there's nothing more sinister at play, sort of thing. But I think she'll be fine. She probably won't need to stay over or anything. But like, you know, you still have to go through like A&E and, you know, see the pediatrician who's pretty busy right now. So we ended up in the hospital from probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Christmas Day, until like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh my God.
It was a long one.
Yeah, it was really Christmas Day at A&E.
Pretty much, yeah, yeah. My daughter was still like quite sick when we were like waiting to see the pediatrician. But then the pediatrician was like, right, well, we need to get like fluids into her because like, I think she's got like a virus, but I think she's dehydrated as well. And, cause she just doesn't drink like an awful lot of water or anything. Like we try to, but she's just like, I don't want to.
So what happened with your other kids? Who was looking after them?
Oh, my mother-in-law and my brother-in-law were with them. So they were just, I mean, they kind of knew what was going on, but like, not really. They were just watching Wallace and Gromit and stuff. And then, but when we turned up at like 10, they were like, where the hell have you guys been? Like, we just missed the whole day. It was like,
don't go to the Kurzel Zinnerbites.
Yeah, do not go there. Especially if you need to go to the bathroom, I would not go there. But yeah, no, she's fine now. It was all fine. She was dehydrated. And I think she was just like turning for the worse because of that, on top of having like a bit of a temperature and a virus and stuff. But they just kind of, they wanted to hook her up to IV, but she took like enough, fluid while she was there. And they gave her like, you know, those, it's like a rehydrating mix thing. It comes in sachets. You put it in water.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
It's she like had a bunch of that thing.
Yeah, she had a bunch of that, and then she just like perked up. She was fine. So, but yeah,
fibogel.
I can't remember what it's called. No. It's like
fibogel is what you have if you've got an upset stomach.
It's like dioralite. Yeah, that's it.
I've always recommended that for hangover. I've got some in my bag.
Yeah, basically, she was like just fresh out of like a heavy drinking session, you know. It was that kind of like being sick, you know. It's just like, it was all
she just did the New Year's
just bile early and stuff, you know. It was really gross. But
Lewis, why do you have anti-hangover cure? I've never seen you drunk other than on a couple of Jingle Jam Street.
I get hangovers very easily. And sometimes on the same evening. Do you know what I mean? I'll have a few drinks in the afternoon, and then like by 9 p.m. I'm like terribly hungover.
Right.
I don't know. It's always a gamble as well. Sometimes I can drink loads and I'm fine. And other days I just drink like a little bit and I'm fucked.
I think drinking's just a bit like that. So like the best nights drinking, you hit that sweet spot where you just feel like invincible to drink. And you feel like, oh, there's no way I'm ever going to be hungover. Like, I feel too good and stuff. Those are like the best ones. But feel like fucking hell the next day. But
yeah,
it's worth
it. I've tried to keep my intake fairly low. Get a light buzz on and hold on to that light buzz. And because I don't drink too much, it's not too difficult to have.
You just
want to
get buzzed enough so that you can get like a little bit nasty on the dance floor with the ladies, and then
yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
so I've been away on holiday for most of the time, I've been here.
You're still there.
I'm still on holiday, yeah.
When do you get back, you slacker? Jeez, you've been there forever.
I've done a few different like hotels and Airbnbs and stuff. And nice. Generally, you know, generally had a nice time. I'm coming back like tomorrow, basically.
Do you yearn for your own bed? Or
yeah. After a while, you're like, okay, this is inconvenient. You know, I'm currently sat like on the floor. Mm-hmm. In a hotel room. There's no like table or chair or desk or anything to put this laptop on. So I've got a laptop on the floor in front of me. I'm sat on the bed cushions.
Yeah.
I've just got this microphone precariously balanced.
Yeah.
I put the do not disturb. I don't know how you feel about the do not disturb etiquette for the door, but I've kind of changed it recently. Like I feel like time.
So you know,
in a hotel room.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mine is up the moment I get it. I check in, I go to my room, I put my bags down, I take that sign, I put it on the door handle, it stays there for the duration of the stay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much the same, actually.
You know, I don't want someone in my room.
No.
Sorry.
But even then, I feel like people still come in. Like, I was literally taking a shit yesterday, and I'm like, hello, like someone comes into the room and I'm like, well, there's a do not disturb sign on the door and I'm taking a shit. Like, this is the worst time for you to come in. Like, what more could I do? Do you know what I mean?
Do you know, you should have just reversed it. You should have been like, come in and then just let them see you shitting. Like, I mean, well, if you covered all the bases, well, you know. What else can you do? There's no sense getting mad about it. Just go with the flow. Yeah,
when they open the door, be stood there.
Can you pass
in the
me that
corridor.
Newspaper, please?
Full goatsy. Just full goatsy welcoming them in.
Can you clean my bum for me as well while you're there?
Can you plunge?
Bum cleaner! Where's my bum cleaner? Just start clapping like that.
That's definitely, I mean, yeah, I'm the same now. But the thing is, like, a couple of things. One, you see I tend to associate that do not disturb sign with either perverts, right?
Yeah. Because someone's jacking off if there's a do not disturb sign.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like,
or
if you walk down through a hotel,
yeah.
I very rarely see do not disturb signs on the other door handles. I was one of the hotels I was in, I was right at the end, and I walked like the whole way down. It was fucking huge. You know, it's astonishingly big how it just goes on, copy pasted rooms and rooms and rooms and corridors. It is like some nightmare. But no one had their do not disturb signs on the door. So I was like, am I weird by having it on all the time? And then the second thing is I tend to see in TV shows, either it's like a romantic comedy and like, you know, the last shot you see is the guy leaning around, putting the do not disturb sign on the door and then like closing it, you know, and then like it fades to the next day and they're waking up together or whatever. You know, it implies like, we're having sex, right? Or the do not disturb sign is in CSI. That's the only other time I see it a lot, where there's a hotel room and they've got the sign on the door and the lobby people are talking. They're like, oh, we haven't heard from this guy in 3 days. And maybe it's just you, P-Flax, you know, and it's just, you know, like select the Curzon cinema in there.
I'm not being funny, but at the Dota, any Dota event where I go and we're all staying and the players are staying, everybody has the do not disturb sign out. Like every single one. Because we're all degenerate gamers. We don't want to be woken up before midday if we can possibly help it. We're all staying up late playing games and just leave us the fuck alone.
Yeah,
this is it.
What I will do is once it starts getting a bit messy, like I tidy up after myself. Consider this. I don't have a cleaner every single day when I'm at home. I don't change my towels every single day at home. I don't change my sheets every single day at home. No reasonable person does. It's a terrible waste of energy. I've had this rant before on the podcast. I know it. If I've got someone come into the hotel to clean my room once a week, I will take the sign off. If I'm busy that day, I'll be like, right, I'll go out early in the morning. I'll take the sign off. I'll tidy up the place. And then I'll come back and it'll all be nice and clean. And then the sign's back on for another week. Like, that's it. I don't need you every fucking day. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I don't need constant reminders. Like, I've had like two or three people come to the door, like thinking like I had ordered some room. I've never ordered room service to the room.
Never?
I've never, pretty much, like, apart from when
you
I was like
ill or during
COVID.
You've never ordered room service to a room?
Very rarely. Very rarely. And the same thing with the minibar. I don't ever take anything out of the mini. £4.50 pair of Snickers.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
They've got rid of the mini bar in most hotels now. I watched a video about this.
They still have mini fridges.
Rid of those a lot. If there was a video about this guy, his entire job, I think this is for Hilton, might be for Hilton Hotels. Which is Hilton the one that comes with a copy of the Mormon fucking Book of Mormon in? Is that Hilton?
Almost certainly. Yeah.
I think it's Hilton. So those hotels now, they've pared back all of the things that you might consider like hotel luxuries. They're gone. Like they've tried to make everything as compact as possible, take out as much stuff as possible. And when they're designing the hotels now, they don't want half the stuff that you consider standard hotel stuff. They do not want. So they don't want like a cupboard. You just have a rack there.
I don't
want
to be a customer then. That sounds fine to me.
Well, good luck. But when that's all there is, you're stuck. Like if you think about everything getting shittier and shrinking, the kids are always complaining about they'll buy a bag of sweets and there's like three M&Ms in the bottom of the bag.
Yeah.
And it costs twice as much, like shrinkflation, right? It's the same with everything. I mean, think about airplanes. Airplane seats are getting tighter and tighter and smaller. They're given less and less for free. You go on them now, they don't always want to give you water for a short flight or even a meal. They'll be like, you got to pay for it. It's only a 2.5 hour flight for a, you know, it's like that. It's constantly paring back and paring back and paring back. And what can we charge you for? So do we actually want the mini fridge? You got to stock it. You got to upkeep. Just get rid of it. It's not worth it. Get rid of this cupboard. Get rid of this space. Get rid of this. If they want an ironing board, they can come to the... We'll have a communal room with an ironing board. If they want a hairdryer, they can ask a reception. All of this stuff is built around the idea of ripping as much stuff out of the room as possible to the point where eventually you will pay for one of those coffin rooms and a Chinese or Japanese hotel.
Like a pod.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is the end goal of these hotels, is that you go in and you just slide effortlessly into a tube and you stay in there for a week. They don't have to send a person in to clean it. Just fill it with water once a day. If you're in there, tough shit. You knew what time it was getting filled with water. It fills it with water and then they slosh the water around there to clean it. The water drains and that's your room for the next day.
Money that they make it impossible for a competition to ever set up because they already own all the buildings. And
you open a hotel, they instantly buy you and shut you down.
Yeah, pretty
that's
much.
That's true. But also like they pay everyone who works for them just the minimum. Yeah, 1p, a single pence. And,
well, look,
and
look,
they give them government food stamps as part of their paycheck.
You can be, and we all are, obviously supporters of a capitalist system. And it worked really well for a long time. It was great for a lot of people, especially in the 1950s. In America, it was great.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely a couple of decades there where it was
fantastic.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, and I would like someone to challenge whether this is true. All right. The end goal of any capitalist society, and when I say the goal, I mean of all the companies and all the people working towards it, the absolute ultimate end goal, and we are approaching this, is for one or two people to own everything. There is no competition. Everything that they sell, you absolutely need to live. They can charge whatever they like, and they've automated the entire thing to such a point that a single person is needed to run the company, and all they do is come in the morning, push a button that says start business, and then at the end of the day they push one that says stop business.
Yeah.
And then they go home. They pay that person 1p per year, and no one else in the world has a job or a business. That is the ultimate goal.
I think even more ultimate than that is they want you to live almost like prison commissary style as well. Like you're on an oil rig, you know, you get paid corporate credits that you then spend within, you know, the corporate housing estate and at the corporate grocery store. And it's all... It's all contained.
And everything that you buy at the corporate grocery store is in those tiny packets that you can just last you enough for one day.
Exactly. You know So you just have this completely, completely miserable, streamlined existence where you can just about afford one packet of gum a day and that'll see you through while you work a 12-hour shift and you don't really get paid for it because you have to live on site and you have to eat on site and all of your friends live on site. And it's just, that's what they want.
Living
for
the
sure.
dream.
That's what they would love to get it to. That's the corporate ethno states that they're always talking about, right?
But consider the fact that increasingly these companies have so much money that they have run out of shit to buy. So now they're just buying land and everything.
And building
buying
data
houses.
Centers.
They're buying all of this shit so that eventually no one's, the average person isn't going to have any chance of owning anything.
No.
It's all going to be leased. It's all going to be rented. Down to every single thing in your house is going to be impossible to purchase.
Yeah, it'll
all
be...
They all want you on an ongoing cost.
They want you stuck in a service loop with them.
Yeah.
forever. And then you're basically, I mean, like already there's like wage slavery, but that is just a return of slavery, basically, right? They just own the people
they
that
own
work
everything.
For them. Yeah.
You're an indentured servant.
They own all the business. They own all the land. They own all the assets that could be owned.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, I know. And all of the, you guys heard of J.R. Simplot?
No.
There's no reason for you to have heard of J.R. Simplot. He's a potato farmer. I think he's probably dead now. He supplied potatoes to McDonald's. All the potatoes basically came from J.R. Simplot back in the day, right?
Right.
Then maybe they still do. He started off with the classic, like, acre and a mule. He just had, like, bought a mule, bought a bit of land, started growing potatoes, started selling potatoes, grew from there into this powerhouse of potatoes, and got this deal with McDonald's, which obviously made him a fortune because they all want uniformity.
Yes.
And if they have one particular potato, they know that every McDonald's in America, the potatoes are going to be the same.
Yeah.
And therefore, all the fries are going to be the same. And you can do everything exactly the same, cook times, oil, temperature, everything, and it'll be exactly the same because the potato is the same.
Yeah.
So if you get that deal with McDonald's, you make a fortune. Now, he started off with nothing and worked his way up. And you'd think, wow, that's exactly it. Why don't
more people
do that?
He had an acre of land and a mule.
Yeah.
That's not nothing.
No.
He didn't
These days.
He didn't have minus 50,000 pounds of student debt and, like, you know, a car repayment.
He didn't go to university, Lewis. He didn't have the debt because he was learned at the university.
Come on.
Yeah,
do you know how much that is? That is nothing.
How much does it cost for an acre of land?
That's the point.
Yeah.
He bought it back when there was fucking land over to America, dude. It's huge.
He probably bought it.
You could buy an acre of land.
He probably bought it while supporting
mule?
A family of 10 in a house with like 20 bedrooms, and he probably worked as like a gas station attendant
at
the time.
Yeah.
Anyway, he had nothing. You could buy land for nothing. The dude was born in 1909.
Yeah.
That's the point, is you could buy land for like 2p back then. He dropped out in the 8th grade. So he didn't have the student debt because he was just a guy who fucking just decided to become a farmer.
Fair enough.
I feel like, though, like...
That is such a success story for this podcast as well, for everybody listening. Be more like him. Pull yourselves up by the bootstraps. You lazy bums, get out
there. That is what the American dream was supposed to be. Fuck
yeah,
me.
So here's what happened. 1923, he is age 14. He started working on a farm. He developed a low-cost method for feeding hogs when the market fell, feeding them wild horse meat and potatoes.
Right.
And when the
wild
market recovered...
Wild horse meat.
Yeah, meat.
Yeah.
When the market recovered, he just sold the hogs at a profit and got into potato and vegetable processing.
He just went out and found wild horses, as you do.
He shot wild horses to feed his hogs. That's the thing, is people see that as a
wouldn't
success
story. Wouldn't be allowed to do
story.
That these days, would you?
No, exactly. Someone owns that land.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my point, is this idea.
Michael Portillo's
horses.
There's no more
Someone
wild
shot
horses.
My precious horse. Not Nelly. Please tell me Nelly's all right. Not Nelly.
I bought an acre of land with those horses. Those horses' meat.
It was a different time.
Before we continue, this episode is sponsored by Shopify. Why not channel the fresh start energy of the new year and finally launch your new business with Shopify? 2026 is the year you rewrite your story, own your future, and make your entrepreneurial dreams come true. Start your business with Shopify in 2026 and become who you're meant to be. Do you have a dream? Maybe a hat shop. Maybe an idea you've always wanted, an idea you just can't shake, a craft everyone tells you to sell, a store you've already designed in your head. Well, with Shopify, 2026 is the year to finally make this happen. Shopify gives you everything you need to sell online and in person. Millions of entrepreneurs have already made this leap, from household names to first-time business owners just getting started. Shopify gives you all the tools to easily build your dream store. Choose from hundreds of beautiful templates that you can customize to match your brand. Setup is fast with Shopify's built-in AI tools that write product descriptions and headlines and help you edit product photos. Marketing is built in too. You can create email and social campaigns that reach customers wherever they scroll. And as you grow, Shopify scales with you. Handle more orders, expand to new markets, and you can do it all from the same dashboard. So in 2026, stop waiting around and start selling with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/Triforce. That's shopify.com/Triforce. Shopify.com/Triforce. Hear your first this new year with Shopify by your side. On with the show.
Oh, Stranger Things 5 was a disaster, apparently, Lewis. Did you watch it?
I haven't watched Stranger Things 5, but I did hear that it was, I think The Guardian did a review that said it lost itself and went up its own arse or something in sci-fi.
Well, my youngest watched it and said it was a load of wank. She didn't use those terms.
Stranger Things 5. Aren't all the actors that are meant to be children in that like 40 years old now?
Yeah, they're in their 30s. Yeah.
Yes. So that's a big problem with these things. But also the other classic big problem is they write this wanky TV show with no idea about the end. It's another classic TV show where they've written these mysteries that don't have a solution. It's like, ooh, why is this person abducting children? We don't know. And we're not going to even be bothered to address it in the
Lost
final.
Lost suffered from that. It was just mystery after mystery, but it's just like, you never even solved the first one. Or the solution of the first one was just so unsatisfying that you were
so
just kind of turned off
to
all
make
the next ones.
It's like, imagine if you were writing a murder mystery, right? Mm-hmm. And at the start of it, you had no idea who'd done the crime. It was an impossible crime. No one could have done it. And then you just ended the murder mystery with like, we don't know.
That's what they did with Who Killed Mr. Burns, but it was sensational.
Could you fucking imagine?
Yeah.
Wait, they did solve it. It was Maggie.
Yeah, they only solved it when it came back the following season. Remember, it left. That was the season ender, and it was a cliffhanger. It was a big whodunit.
Yeah, but that's a cliffhanger.
And there was about 30 people that could have possibly done it. And then the first episode of the next season, they revealed. But I think they'd written all of the eventualities as well, and then settled on Maggie.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I get the impression though that Game of Thrones and Lost sort of had a more high trajectory of failure. Like it was obvious in that final season that they had no idea where they were going.
They didn't
Whereas
really
in
know
this
how to wrap
one,
it up.
I think there's been moments as I've seen the episodes come out, people saying things like, "Oh, these two characters are just having a podcast while also running away from a psychotic, you know, deep Cthulhu beast thing. You know, they're just having the chance to have this deep."
The
moment where they reveal
Game of Thrones,
that they're gay or whatever.
The Game of Thrones books kind of sprawled on a bit too, because I remember there being lots of like little interesting storylines that just never really went anywhere, or they were gonna link up into like a bigger storyline later, but then they're just so many half-baked ideas that just never.
This is it. This
never
is it.
Fully,
I think that it,
fully
it does
finished.
Sometimes become a. The author is like, oh, wouldn't it be really cool if this happened to this person, this happened to this person, and everyone's like, yeah, it would, and that's great. Yeah. And then, but where does that go? Why? How does that get resolved? You know.
Yeah.
And I think George R. R. Martin's always like, well, you know, the history is just shit anyway, so might as well be a shit story. Because it's realistic. It's like, well, yeah, that's so what, but that's not really the point of a story. The story is that, you know, you have the whole point of you building up this identity of this character is to inform the audience as to why this event happened, you know, and give, rather than them just dying, you know, if you just build up all this character's backstory and we learn every single thing about this character and then they just die for no reason, like, what's the fucking point of that?
Yeah,
you know, that's not.
I feel like one thing you might want avoid is when people read your stuff and they get to the end is that they don't feel like they've just wasted time reading something that's not ended in any kind of like meaningful way or whatever, you know, or just left like open ended. I mean, some things are left open ended, and but it's fine, you know. Like you can kind of like choose your own ending if you like, sort of thing. But then some stuff you feel like I need like some sort of closure to a lot of these things, but I haven't gotten it. And it just leaves like a bit of a sour taste in your mouth, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
It really does. And I just think that, like, you know, that's just the nature of these things, isn't it? I think, again, with Stranger Things, the pressure is on, right? To like finish it before they all, you know, get old enough that they're all pregnant with kids or whatever, or they're all like losing their hair. I don't know. Fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they've all embarked on their own solo careers in a major way, you know. Millie Bobby Brown is so much more than Stranger Things.
The dirtier,
you know,
the better. That's my favorite Millie Bobby Brown.
What has Millie Bobby Brown been in other than Stranger Things? I don't know.
Every tabloid magazine for the past 5 years?
I don't know
years?
If that's like a sustainable or, you
Millie
know.
Millie Bobby Brown. Millie Bobby Brown.
I thought she was in something else.
She maybe. Was in The Electric State, which was not a very good movie at all.
But she got paid a lot for it.
She right. did. She was in Godzilla versus King Kong,
right?
Which was not a very good movie at all. She was in Godzilla King of the Monsters. I reiterate, it was not a very good movie at all. I haven't seen Damsel, but I've never heard of it either.
What about Finn Wolfhard? What's he been in?
Well,
what's he been up to? Timothy Chalamet?
He was in the new Ghostbuster movies.
She really hasn't been in much. Millie Bobby Brown has not been in much. She's in something called Enola Holmes 3.
Oh, yeah, they've been big.
I haven't heard of those. And Just Picture It, which is a romantic comedy directed by Lee Toland Krieger, who I don't know. Starring people I don't know. Eddie, I'm getting to that point where I don't recognize any of these people.
It almost makes you realize that actually doing like the 3 episodes of Lord of the Rings or even the 7 or 8 films of the Harry Potter series, they did really well to keep them, you know, in going, you know, keep, you know, even though some of the actors, you know, like Dumbledore got replaced, didn't he?
He died.
That's going to happen, right? But realistically, just think how hard it is to keep getting back the same actors in that franchise every year with all the contract negotiations and all that shit.
It must be tricky.
They had 3 years to write this series of Stranger Things. And according to my youngest, people feel free to email in if you disagree with her take. She said it felt really badly put together. So the dialogue was awful. And I don't want to spoil anything, but she said the ending was extremely soggy and just nothing.
Right.
It was like, none of it made sense. Plot holes up the arse. Again, these are all my words. I'm paraphrasing. She didn't put it this way at all. But she was very, very bitterly disappointed because she was a huge Stranger Things fan. And I met Joe Quinn, who played one of the characters in the show a few years ago, and getting a picture of me with him made her year. That's how big a fan she was. She wasn't even in the picture, and it was like her favorite picture. And I was like, I'd never seen the show really past a couple of episodes of season one, so I didn't even know who Joe Quinn was. She could not believe it that I'd met Joe Quinn. She was like, oh my God, he's like the best guy ever. She was such a big fan. So this was her Game of Thrones moment. This was her devastating final series.
It is a good show. I mean, I haven't watched the final series yet.
I'm sure
it
was, but like Game of Thrones, doesn't it ruin it for you knowing that you're going to set off on watching this show and then the ending is terrible?
I don't think it's like terrible. I think it's just not as good as it could have been.
Wait, are you talking Game of Thrones or are you talking Stranger Things?
Stranger Things. I think it's a disappointment. Like from
yeah, but that in itself, it's only 5 fucking seasons. This was a huge show. You had so much time and money, all these talented people. Write a decent fucking script. Write a decent script.
I was going to say, I didn't watch the final season of House of Cards, but I watched all the rest and I really enjoyed all the rest. But the final season was apparently terrible.
House of Cards or Game of Thrones?
House of Cards I'm talking about now.
Oh, right. Okay.
When they replaced Kevin Spacey. And
talking about shows that ended badly.
Either.
It was
I
a
haven't
great
watched
show,
The Witcher yeah. since they changed out from Henry Cavill to someone
I didn't
else.
Even realize that they had changed out. I only watched the first season of The Witcher, which I enjoyed.
I thought it was great with Henry Cavill. You know,
yeah, I thought
I
it was
really
good
enjoyed
too,
it.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't bring myself to watch it. I was so disappointed that they just like, you know,
yeah,
fucking hard replaced.
Doesn't he think he's going to make like a Warhammer movie or something? Isn't that the thing? Because he's big into Warhammer. Apparently he's pushing for a Warhammer movie.
Oh, maybe.
Somehow.
I don't
good
know.
On him. Yeah, Warhammer have been terrible at generally producing any kind of decent content with their massively successful, huge mega IP. I mean, consider how much Warhammer video games there is, right? And obviously, sure, it is a game, you know, at least a war game, and it fits that universe. You know, name a Warhammer character. I think you'd struggle, maybe, Sips, to
Sigmar?
Name
Sigmar?
Like,
yeah, I have no idea. I'm not into it at all. I know the Space Marines are pretty, like, iconic looking.
Something, Arno Land. There you go.
The creator of the Land Raider.
Exactly. Yeah. And Jimmy Space.
Yes. Yeah, there's a few. But I guess they're not... given how massive and mega Games Workshop and that IP is, you know, it is shocking that there isn't a TV show around it, you know?
There probably will be one, though, like, because Fallout's been pretty successful. I think
there's been a lot of, like, fan animations and fan projects.
Yeah. But consider this, the crossover, like, I feel like the crossover, culturally speaking, what we considered nerd specific culture, like comics, games, nerdy shit like aliens and stuff like that, fantasy, any kind of fantasy, was way, way, way off the menu for the average viewer. Like, people nowadays will happily watch something that was based on a video game or a comic book.
Because there's been successes in it now. You've got Super Mario, you got Minecraft.
Of course.
You've had,
but there's always going to be successes.
Fallout, you've had Last of Us. Like, yeah, there always will be, but there's been so many recently that now there's going to be a big... they're just going to be scouring every possible game. There'll be like a Call of Duty movie. There'll be every big IP that they can get. And then when they can't get those, they'll go down a tier and down a tier and down a tier. And then there will be a Bad Rats
Colin
movie.
Colin McRae's Rally.
The whole thing will explode when there is
Power Wash Simulator, the game,
exactly,
the movie.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you'll have all of those, and then it'll bottom out. It's like when the Playmobil movie came out. It's like the Lego movies did super well, and Playmobil are like, yes, here we go.
Yeah,
and then
it's
it fucking bombed because it sucked. And now,
I mean, I would watch the Sylvanian Families movie in a while.
And now there hasn't been a Lego movie in like years. And I think it's because they just absolutely saturated
they rinsed it,
tired out the market.
As is their wont.
Yeah.
But I predicted this a few years ago on this very podcast. I said that now that they're done with superheroes, the superhero thing is starting to fall off, and the Super Mario Brothers movie was coming out. I was like, this is it now. You've got Sonic, Pikachu, and Super Mario Brothers are all coming movies. It's going to be fucking every single game you can think of.
Yeah.
There's going to be a fucking movie of it. Yeah. It's going to burn people out.
Well, Minecraft
the only thing
was the biggest movie of last year in the UK.
Yeah, exactly. Huge, yeah.
It was actually
the
good,
the only
too.
Thing
I
is this. There's no consistent storyline between games. So consider Marvel. You've got all of these titles and all of these stories and all of this potential, and an Iron Man can pop up in your Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
And so-and-so can pop up in this movie. You can't have a Super Mario Brother movie where the lad from Halo pops up, because it wouldn't make any fucking sense. You could, but it wouldn't make sense.
I've never been massively into comics or comic book characters or anything, and I think I like immediately was fatigued by superhero movies before like even tons of them came out. I think I saw the first Spider-Man and I was like, okay, cool, that's fine. but there's been so fucking many. Like, it's insane. Yeah, I know they make a lot of money and stuff, but like, oh my God. Like, it's just, it's insane how many there have been. I mean, great if you're a fan and you love that stuff. But for people, it's exhausting.
Oh,
even just trying to keep track of how many came out. Same with like the big, you know, like the gigantic jizz of Star Wars stuff when Disney bought it. And it was just like, a new trilogy. There's a new movie every 2 years. There's this, there's that. There's 20 series. It's like, I like Star Wars, but man, I cannot keep up with all this stuff. Like, there's way too much. And filtering through the good and the bad, you know, because like at that volume, a lot of it is just going to be kind of bad or mediocre. So it's trying to find, you know, the stuff that's worth spending your time on. Apparently that's Andor, which I haven't seen because I've just got Star Wars fatigue now. There's just too fucking much stuff.
I get it. But
just don't watch the average shit. Anyway. Watch the good shit.
I know. It's like, again, trying to sift through it.
That is it. It's like you really need to just watch the top of the line stuff. Like I watched Wednesday and I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. I didn't expect to enjoy it.
No.
But I really, really enjoyed it. And I it was not something I would have ordinarily watched, but I sort of had to force myself to watch it just because of how massively sort of, you know, famous it is. But I was laughing a lot. Like, you know, there's a lot of references to the old Addams Family in there and stuff. And like, you know, it's, I don't know.
I love those movies when I was a kid. I love the black and white TV show I used to watch. It used to be in like, you know, mass syndication when I was a kid. Used to watch it all the time. But the movies when they came out in the 90s, they were pretty
Addams
big.
Addams Family Values. Yeah, it was great.
They were good.
I remember that. Well, I've been...
Julia. Rest in peace.
Random crap
bro.
While I've been here on holiday. I've been
going. Where are you?
I'm in
Gran Canaria.
I've been trying to,
unbelievable, man. Get your ass home. This is ridiculous.
You got a passport? Spanish passport now? Like, you've been there for so long.
I feel like I should have. I haven't had to speak a word of Spanish.
Don't even love England anymore. Fucking get him out of the fucking country.
It says at the moment, it says on my laptop that it's 2 degrees C currently.
What?
Wow.
And raining in Britain. So,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, and whereas I'm looking outside and it's like...
I see. I know where this is going. You're going to become a weather boy. You live abroad, you're going to tell us back home how good the weather is and therefore how much better it is
gonna be like,
and how superior you are.
It's like
you
that,
make me
it's
sick.
It's like that scene from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation when he's looking out the window of his kitchen and it's like he's got his pool and it's summer and there's women in bikinis jumping into his pool.
Look,
and everything. Is that what it's like for you?
My mood
Traitor.
Is directly correlated with how comfortable I am. And if I'm cold and wet and it's dark, I'm not really very comfortable. If I'm sat outside in a nice fresh air, like, you know, with a fucking pina colada, you know, I'm feeling a lot better. Like, I've been trying to do exercise, right? And there's like a beach nearby and I walk up and down. And the first time I walked along it, I realized, like, suddenly I was surrounded by lots of naked people. And I was like, ugh.
Oh, hell yeah.
What, totally naked?
Totally naked, but all men.
Oh, my.
Oh, hell no. Oh, you're on the gay part of Gran Canaria. That's
so there's this
I'm
big
serious.
Nudist. There's this big nudist beach in the middle of Maspalomas in the near the dunes. And I looked up. I was like, it's only men. So and there's like I noticed there were a couple of like gay pride flags and stuff everywhere. But I thought I was there's a lot of them and good for them. It's like just far enough away that it's a bit of a walk, you know, it's like half an hour's walk along the beach. I mean, in either direction from either
so
of the two.
You must be exhausted
sort of
from that.
I feel like the name Maspalomas would be such a good beach name for a all-female nude beach, you know?
Look at the Maspalomas. Well,
yeah, look
on
at the Balomas
one.
On that one. Yeah, exactly.
Now,
hubba.
I don't know whether
check
I've ever heard
check out the Balomas
of that.
On that doll.
They are very lucky in a sense that, you know, I mean, if you're gay, you're lucky. Absolutely. But I realized that beach, okay, everyone's surrounded by people who are attracted to the same sex, obviously. And imagine if it's like a hetero nude beach, okay,
yeah.
And you're a heterosexual
person. Like every
person,
other nude beach, yeah.
Yeah. Half the people you're looking at, you're not attracted to. I'm not I'm not saying that every man is attracted to every other man. You know, that's not how it works. I know that's
right.
How it works. In the same way that I'm
but
not attracted to.
But there's potential there. But the thing is, there's potential there.
There's definitely
like
a sexual element.
What you're saying is
to this,
being on
to
a gay
beach
as a gay dude,
yeah.
You've got 100% potential hit rate.
Yeah, it's a higher
the
potential
upside,
hit rate.
The potential hit rate
heterosexual.
Is potentially 100%. What? Straight right? Dude, the best you're going to get is probably 50-50, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's generous.
So exactly, mate.
I'm saying it's, but also it's a very kind of, it's a very
I'd be
gay
like
thing.
I'd be like Moses on a nude beach. I'd walk down and it would just part. It would make a grand corridor for me to just stroll down. I'd say I have an opposite effect on the opposite sex.
You'll
see
so
me coming,
clothed.
They flee.
Even the ocean parts and all the fish get the fuck
everybody
out of the way.
Everybody wants to get out of my damn way. I'm nude.
Wait, where are all the birds flying to? Is there a tsunami coming? Oh, no, wait.
Sex is wearing so many clothes that it's dazzling all of us.
Yeah.
No, but I was just thinking, you don't see a lesbian beach, you know, necessarily. Maybe I don't. Maybe I just haven't found them in my travels. Maybe they exist out there. And God bless you keeping them secret.
I think they
you
have
to
keep them secret and safe because I think they would get, you know, I think you'd have ne'er
well,
doer
stand
wells
out
turning
if you were
up.
A man there, right? You would stand out. You know, they'd shuffle you, they'd get their brooms and shuffle you out of there, no, like pronto, you know.
I think they would.
You got
to
show your qualifications to get in. Maybe it's like a more gated situation,
like a wolf in a hen house.
But it comes back to the whole, a lot of men just getting the sun on their dick.
Yeah, why not? You know, you got to turn that shaft every once in a while. I mean, how often has your dick seen direct sunlight? We talked about this
exactly.
Very
so
recently.
Rarely. Are they flipping I don't even it know every if now ever. Then, like a sausage on the barbecue? Do you know?
I think
they,
the best like, my dick will do is like a ray of sunlight coming through the blinds of my bathroom window.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
or
it.
If I'm lying in bed nude.
Somehow. Yeah. That doesn't happen to me
sun
very
will,
often
will grace
anymore.
It, but.
Either, but
it feels like a little mole that lives in my trousers, essentially what it is at this point. It doesn't come up
like
sunlight.
A little shrew, like a shy,
a little
like a
dormouse,
like from a children's book, you know,
like a dormouse's cock. That's me.
Yeah. No, I see. Oh. I feel that.
Yeah.
Adorable in its way.
Yeah.
And harmless.
And needs some sun. Some water. Just
needs some. I'd like an Attenborough over the top. Here we see the rarely seen flax peepee poking its little head out of its
trousers.
He's
got a new series about wildlife in London. You might be on there.
Has he actually?
Yeah.
Oh, and it's gone back in.
Yeah.
And it has retreated for the year.
Flax has got his flasher coat on. He's just like prowling around on the street.
I'd love to see London. David Attenborough do a nightlife in London documentary. Him hitting all the clubs, all the pubs.
Oh,
that'd be fucking great.
Yeah.
Just
all
him getting progressively more and more hammered as he goes around London.
That'd be so funny.
Attenborough being sick on camera. Just being sick on some homeless person that's passed out.
This
Attenborough's sick on him, gets in a fight. Brilliant. What a documentary.
The ubiquitous Ibiza final boss. Here he is with his big sunglasses and gold chain. As you can see, he's groomed his goatee into and trimmed his bowl haircut into a shape that he thinks will attract all of the ladies who are at the nightclub. Little does he realize that people are taking pictures of him and laughing in their bedrooms.
This is so
men
personal. So
men who are much less successful with the ladies than him are mocking.
Who is this bowl haircut having
Ibiza
not gone?
Google Ibiza final boss. He went viral this year. He's like he's like a specific looking guy. Yeah. Very strange looking guy.
Oh yeah. I've seen this guy in memes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Look at this guy. This can't be a real person.
It's honestly, it's quite a
that haircut is unbelievable.
Paste it in general.
Looks like a school bully.
Just Google Ibiza final boss. I'm not linking it.
I don't
want
to sully my history, or I don't want to gum up my
all right,
algorithm.
Wait, here we go. I'll post an image in Goons. Not in general. Let's see if this works. Okay. This is the guy.
Oh my god, man! It looks a bit like it looks like a video game rendition of Wayne Rooney. Like it looks like Wayne Rooney in Call of Duty.
Yeah, like a low poly. He's like, this is Wayne Rooney's Fortnite skin.
It does. Yeah, that looks like Wayne Rooney's Fortnite skin. That's hilarious.
Fuck me.
Oh my god. I played I think I told you guys I played Fortnite with the Kim Kardashian skins and stuff.
Yeah,
and it's like
just
a fucking
now.
It's just a bizarro game.
The world's fucked,
now.
Man.
It's just nuts. Yeah.
This guy is going to make a fortune.
You think?
Yeah, this guy is going to make a fortune.
I think you're
I'm telling you right now.
Do you guys have any New Year's resolutions? Is there anything
None.
You want to change?
I hate them, I don't do them.
Going into this year and
no.
Like, is there anything you want to do differently? Do you want to get into the club?
No.
Do you want to go to the gym? Do you want to go vegan? Do you want to like...
Not at the moment, but later on in the year, if I decide to do it, I'll
media.
Do it then.
Do you want
fuck
to like,
your fucking veganism. Fuck off. Stop trying to push it in 2026.
No, I'm just saying
2026
that
is the year of meat.
These
I'm saying
are,
it right now. It's coming back in a big way.
Oh my God. I don't think it ever left Flax. I think it's the year of meat has been
back.
Every year since the moment we
meat.
First...
I was eating the flesh of a wild horse I'd illegitimately shot the other day. Someone told me to stop dead. He can't eat anything these days.
This is the hog talking. This is the farmer's hog POV.
Starts oinking.
Why my potatoes are wild horse flesh? Oh, fucking wokies. They won't fucking let me have anything. Fucking libs.
That just screams to me like I save money by killing something on a neighboring bit of land.
No, he literally shot wild animals. He saved money on feed by killing things.
Yeah.
Easy.
By getting trash from the local neighborhood.
I fed my wild hogs some microplastics from the local river, and they were fucking fine. Look at them now.
He just weaves in a fucking.
And they were fucking really okay, actually. Fuck, fuck's sake.
A diet of forever chemicals and microplastics. Oh,
fucking A, dude.
That's the equivalent of today. What? Serious? So you're going to cut back on drinking? Bullshit.
Drinking? No,
oh,
I am.
Oh, man. Why do it to yourself? Just enjoy yourself.
I'm
going to
put some weight on.
Shut up, subconscious.
Oh, all right? God. I feel like it's every year it's the same thing. I'm gonna do this. Not you, Flax, specifically, but like everybody.
No, I get you.
It's to say I'm gonna do this, and they do it for a couple of weeks, and they're just back to normal. Like, why bother? Don't even.
I did start the year really well. But this year I said I was gonna look after myself better because I do you remember at the start of last year I had a lot of anxiety and I needed some work done on my teeth and stuff. Yeah. And I did do all that. Like I did start to look after myself a bit better. Lasted about half the year.
All right.
And then I just started to run out of steam.
Yeah.
And then it just started to, you know, everything kind of wound down from there. But December was a fucking write-off. I was a mess in December. I ate and drank like an absolute pig.
Are you still on the
so
Huel?
Really got it.
And what about golfing? Huel, are you still golfing?
Too hard. Right. Quit. I just quit.
Yeah.
I was going to do a stream with Dav at Jingle Jam where I was going to come. We were going to go play golf on a public course. Joe Hickson was going to film it.
Right.
And we were just going to live stream us just literally smashing some balls around this public golf course and getting pissed as we did it. But we figured we'll do that in Camp Yog instead. That would be much more fun because it would be fucking summer instead of going to play golf in Bristol in December, which is miserable at the best of times. So we're going to do it in the summer.
Nice.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
that sounds
fun.
Great. Oh, well, I'm obviously getting my house next week.
Next week.
That's going to be...
You're not even in the country at the moment.
Yeah, that's bold.
That is bold. Crazy. I would have needed a couple of months at home just to like sort of get my affairs in order, you know?
Getting ready to move, booking shit, all of this. And this lad's on fucking holiday, got his feet up on the beach while this hot property deal goes.
Well, you're like the flat some for kind an extra tycoon. Couple of weeks.
So. You're like a tycoon. Nay, magnate. You could
have you
be
started
a magnate.
Packing?
Well, a little bit. But I've got a couple of extra weeks on the... I don't have to move in on the day I get the house.
Oh, okay. So,
you know, you have I don't want to like expose you here, but the last time I was at your house, you had a lot of Lego. How are you going to pack all that up? You have to take it all apart first?
You can wrap it in cling film. No,
right.
I just wrapped it in.
Oh, you're
going to
wrap it all up.
Oh, fair
enough.
Wrapped up most of it, honestly. Just one layer of cling film, stick it in a box, hope for the best. It's Lego. You can put it back together at the other end. It's not like fucking China.
And the other thing I was thinking about, your vast dildo collection as well. How are you going to transport that to your new house?
Just cling film again.
Right. I haven't even washed any of them. Some of them are just going in there all lubed up
still.
I
like the smell.
I
want to keep that.
Yeah, no. That's one thing that hits you the first thing you enter your apartment is that smell. The smell.
God, it smells like the fucking Turzel
like
Sinmar
fucking dildos
in
here. Jesus.
Jesus. So I'm dreading it, obviously, but also that's going to be a big change for me.
Moving house is probably the most stressful thing that you can do.
Yeah, they do say the second
moving into a house that you've just bought especially is quite stressful because
I think getting divorced is probably the most stressful thing you can do. I'll be real. Or dying.
Well,
I
that's
feel
it.
Like,
my partner's.
Like, well, if you're during the course of dying, it's probably stressful. But when you're dead, obviously, like you're done. So like you get the release.
You're bleeding out on the battlefield.
Okay,
I don't reckon you're thinking this definitely beats.
I think adrenaline
house.
Takes over a little bit there as well. You know,
I think that would probably be the worst.
I think at that moment in time, you're thinking shit. You're not thinking about like Fuck, did I pay my last, did I cover the lease break?
Did I get the boiler check?
Exactly. Yeah. It's not like a creeping existential worry in the back of your mind. It's more of a it's a different kind of anxiety, I think. And
it's still stress. You said stress.
My partner has had a relative die, and
oh, no.
they are flying out to LA to go to their funeral, and they're flying out, I think, for three days.
My joke was poorly timed. I apologize. Jeez.
And they've
not—they've
never been on a transatlantic flight before.
Right.
Wow.
And in fact, never met the person they're going to see in this.
Right. Well, the one thing I will say is this time of year, actually, for air travel is pretty good. You'll probably get a whole row of seats to yourself. There's like
it is very cheap
right now.
Yeah. And I think, they're going out. For I think they go out on the day I get the house, which is hilarious.
Oh my
and then they're
going
to be back like a week later. And so I'm going to have to, but they're almost like, it's like they've done it deliberately to avoid helping.
Yeah. Or, yeah. You'll have the whole place set up when they,
because I hate helping someone else move. Oh, it's a ball ache. Do you know what I mean? I don't want to be dealing
with
that.
It's awful. Yeah. I would never do it. No offense to anyone I know, but I would never help you move. I'm sorry.
No.
It's ridiculous.
No, and if anyone offers to help you move, they don't mean it.
No, I don't want you going through my shit either. Get the fuck out of here.
They don't mean it. Like, they don't really want to. If you say, oh, yeah, please actually come and help me, they'll be like, oh, fuck.
That was a big Seinfeld thing.
It's just one of those polite things. I think a lot of people do this stuff.
Oh, you know who did? You remember that was fucking Keith Hernandez tries to get, Jerry agrees to help him move, and it's like a sectional couch, and he's listing all the horrible things they're going to have to lift up and down the stairs of the apartment.
Yeah.
That's a classic episode.
Or you turn up at someone's house to help them move and they haven't packed anything. It's just like a messy house. And you're like,
so
what the
let's
fuck?
Let's get these plates and bowls, and I need every cup. It all needs to be individually wrapped in newspaper. I haven't got the newspaper. I'd like you to get the newspaper as well. And put it in boxes stacked in size order, please.
If that's happening, I'm just turning around and driving back
home. All the food
home.
In the fridge and the larder,
honestly.
Individually wrapped. Yeah, I'll be like, okay, cool. You can hire. You just bought a house, mate.
Yeah.
In 2026, you can afford to get someone to fucking do this for you. Goodbye.
There's people that will do everything as well. You can get moving companies will come in and literally they will box everything up for you, organize it. Like,
do you reckon they pocket a few things as well?
In my case, they'd be welcome to. I'd be actually happy if they did. I have so much crap.
Save him hiring a skip.
Oh no, half my shit has gone missing. Oh, what will I do? Like I need to throw it all out anyway. Fucking hell, we have so much stuff. It's insane.
It is.
How much
it
stuff
is insane.
We have.
Like we went round to the house that we're buying to meet the owner and talk about things. You know, it's a few things to talk about. And they'd already thrown out an entire skip worth of stuff. Not joking.
Yeah.
And they had another skip half full. And we looked around the house and it was full of stuff. It was like, how do you accumulate so much stuff?
Are they downsizing? Are they older and downsizing?
They're moving into
a condo or something.
They've got like
We've been here for like 20 odd years. And the amount of stuff that we've acquired in that time, that if we move house, I'm just going to be like, just fucking bin it. Like so much stuff. Yeah.
It's so hard.
But it's just in your house. But you kind of make your life around all this crap. And then it's only when you come to this big life audit of having to actually move this stuff that you're like, we don't need half of this.
But also, like, it's full of stuff that you bought and then stopped using, you know? Like, they've got an old table tennis table and an old pram and an old, snooker table and, like, you know, so much stuff, like, piled next to one another in the garage, you know? Like, you can't move for it and it's just too big to throw away or get rid of easily.
Yeah.
But then again, these days, maybe you could put it up on Facebook Marketplace and someone will pick it up for free. You know, they got like an old piano. They were like, do you want a piano? I was like, not really. Like, you know, it's like, it's more hassle than it's worth to keep around.
I tried to sell some fire doors not long ago because we got three extra fire doors like when we were getting our place renovated. And one of the builders is like, oh, they ordered the wrong doors. We have to order some other ones. You're going to have these three extra. Like, why not list them on the local thing and try to sell them? Because, you know, you probably could sell them for a bit. And I was like, oh, God, really? Like, I don't think anyone's going to buy those. He's like, no, you'd be surprised. So, you know, you'll probably get some interest in them. So I was like, okay, fine. So I listed them. Like, I didn't get a single email or call or anything. And we just ended up giving them away to somebody who also took a bunch of our other crap that we didn't want. Some people out there want more crap. It's unbelievable.
I know. That's
but I was
so
happy for it.
So, Daff, apparently you can pretty much, if you put anything up on Facebook Marketplace for £0, someone will come by and just take it for free, right? Yeah. And it will save you having to pay to get rid of it or hire a skip or anything. And so Daff does this quite often at the office. And the other day, I think that we had like 10 broken monitors or whatever. And, you know, we would normally just give them to the e-waste people. But someone, you know, Daff put them up on for like, you know, £0. And he was inundated with calls. Like,
I bet,
he had like 50 calls in 2 hours to come pick up these old monitors.
Yeah.
Because someone wants them. So I don't know what they're going to do with them.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, they
feed them to their hogs.
Have a very low value. But for the sake of having to drive a car around, take them all downstairs, put them in the back of the van, you know, it saves a lot of. It's worth, I don't know, it's a funny old thing, but
it's probably worth it. Some people can probably have the know-how to, like, you know, repair them or whatever, and then they can just sell them on, probably.
Yeah, you hope so.
And make a little bit of money.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we want, right?
Yeah.
We want stuff to be less disposable and more, you know, find a new life. I've changed my mind. I'm all for it. Facebook Marketplace, that's the place to go. That's the only thing I would consider using Facebook for in 2026. Because I haven't logged in since about 2016 to Facebook.
Yeah,
I mean,
same.
I just hear about it.
I want to say one more thing because I know that we have to wrap up in 2 seconds. Yesterday, I had some cabbage with my dinner and I just farted and all I could smell is cabbage.
Okay, that's great.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
What have I got to wrap up? Don't know. But I have to stop.
We've been playing a lot of Zomboid, me and Sips.
Yeah, I've been playing it. Yeah, Flack's been playing it. It's been fun. It's been good.
Build 42, which is the one I'm playing on.
Yeah.
The latest build. The multiplayer is shit, which is the only reason I'm not doing any multiplayer.
Yeah.
Because I played some of Build 41 with my eldest. We played it because he's into Zomboid as well.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know what it is about it, but it is such a fun and satisfying game to play.
It's so deep. I think it's the depth of the game.
Yeah.
There's loads of little systems and stuff.
They keep adding cool shit. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. Anyway.
Cool.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah. That's your podcast.
Thank you so much. See you next time.
Enjoy 2026.
Yeah.
And Happy New Year.
Happy
and
New Year
Christmas
and Merry Christmas and all that. Yeah. See you next time. Peace.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.